Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show where we talk soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, in this hemisphere, in the world. That's what we do. It's AST. And we got a lot to talk about right now. This was I cannot think of anything to even put in the same conversation. Off the field, not on the field, off the field, this was the busiest week for Atlanta United in their history. This was the busiest week off the field for soccer in the city of Atlanta in its history. A record amount of money was spent on transfers. Two incredibly impactful players were signed and announced. Played a preseason game in between the two as well. We'll talk about that. It was a monster week that has really changed the power structure in Major League Soccer for 2025 and hopefully for beyond. I feel like when we signed off last Tuesday, we weren't quite sure what we'd be talking about this week. We didn't really know. Miguel Almiron looked like it was done at that point, but it wasn't done yet, and that ended up getting done, and he was introduced to the media on Friday. Emmanuel Latelath, as I believe he is preferring to be called, and we'll get confirmation once we get a chance to sit down with him and chat with him. Latelath, I didn't know what was going to happen here exactly because it was a very complicated situation all the way around. You had things being dropped into the Italian press, which had nothing to do with an English club and an American club and a player playing in England from the Ivory Coast. He did develop in Italy and his agent is from Italy. His agent, by the way, has not posted anything about his signing, which is very strange because he's posted things about other people's signings and the agency has as well. So I'm very confused by lots of things that have happened with the Latte Lath deal. It got done, though. Eventually, Middlesbrough, when it wasn't 100%, even by the weekend, that they were going to be able to get a replacement in place in time, they did. And they brought in a player on loan from Spain, a player with English League experience. Made a lot of sense. They get that deal done. And then this morning, it is officially announced by both clubs that Latte Lath is going to play for Atlanta United. You've seen pictures of him already if you follow Atlanta United on your social media platforms. Pictures of him at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Very cool week for Atlanta United. Let's start with Miguel Almiron. And you guys know him as a player. I do want to see who he is as a player in this league, in this team in 2025. He spoke to the media on Friday, and it was just one really good to see him and really good to hear from him. I've said it a few times over the past few days. I was really struck by just how sure of himself he came off. You know, when he was here before, he was younger. He hadn't traveled out of South America. I think he was, you know, a little more shy. He seemed very confident in, like, all the best ways of being confident. He seemed very confident on Friday speaking to the media. He seemed very happy about being back. I think it's a really good move for him. It's a great move for the club. And this is not purely a nostalgia move either. And I think that's the component to it. I'm always reluctant, as I've said before, about just making the nostalgia play. Miguel Almiron has a lot more to give. And while he might not have the same breakneck speed that he had when he was younger, when he was here and lifting MLS Cup, he's not that far off. And if he can adjust his game, recalibrate his game, something that I always remember Diego Maradona talking about when he moved to Serie A from playing in La Liga and previously playing in Argentina. He talked about how he had to basically do that, recalibrate his game to a different league, a different style, a different challenge. Miguel Almiron's going to have to do that as well. And he will. It will help him that he knows the league and he's been in the league. It's a different league now. It is. But he will be able to adjust because of the experience that he's gained in England. So I'm really excited to see him on the field wearing the Atlanta United kit again. Not sure how soon that will happen, but really excited for that to happen sooner rather than later. We'll talk about the Birmingham Legion friendly win over the weekend. We'll talk about that in the next segment. We'll get into that one a little bit more deeply from a just on the field perspective. But let's jump ahead to the Emmanuel Latte Lath edition. It was announced this morning by both Atlanta United and Middlesbrough. Craig Johns of the Middlesbrough Gazette spoke to our friend John Nelson on SDH AM Soccer Down Here yesterday morning. And this is what he had to say when asked by John about what to expect when you see Latte Lath on the
field. You know, is obviously his goals. He's a natural goal scorer, an excellent finisher. He needs to be serviced. I wouldn't say he's the type of striker who's going to create many of his own chances. He's not going to get on the ball and kind of beat men with skill or anything like that and create his own chances, but give him the ball in and around the box and 9 times out of 10 he'll put it in the back of the net. He's also incredibly fast. He loves running off the last shoulder of a defender and getting him behind, so if you can service him in that way, he's very good on that side. I must admit not entirely sure how Atlanta usually play and usually set up, but he loves to press. He's really, really hard working, uses that that pace really well to kind of hassle defenders when defenders are on the ball, doesn't give them a moment's breath really. And he's a kind of striker where he would just be a defender's nightmare because he's constantly on the move. He's constantly putting pressure on you when you're on the ball, and he's constantly moving about, looking for space, looking for a route in behind when his team have the ball. So he's just a really lively player, really active player. I always say he likes chaos, Emmanuel Lattice. If you can provide chaos in and around the box, he just has this kind of natural instinct for kind of thriving off that and being in the right place at the right time.
He loves chaos. I love to hear that. That's Craig Johns of the Middlesbrough Gazette on what to expect from Latte Lath on the field for Atlanta United. I'm Jason Longshore. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We're talking about the huge week for Atlanta United, where they spent, depending on the reports and depending what the actual checks going out are, somewhere over $30 million to bring in Miguel Almiron and Latte Lath. Biggest expenditure on Latte Lath in league history, biggest transfer fee received by Middlesbrough as well in their history. Combine the two, biggest spend in a week's time, probably in MLS history. I don't know if that one's been tracked or not yet. It's huge. What's the context of this? If you are a Atlanta United fan, if you're just an Atlanta sports fan, I think from an Atlanta sports fan perspective, we always want to see our clubs be bold, be aggressive, and do whatever it takes to win. Spend what is necessary to give yourself the best chance to win. Never guarantees anything, but if you have a better talented roster on the field, in the locker room, you should win more, right? That's something that Arthur Blank said he would do from day one with Atlanta United, and he has, and this exemplifies it. They brought in a huge amount of money in the summer window last year, and they tried to spend some of it. They did spend some of it on Alexei Maranchuk. They tried to spend more of it. They ended up spending it here, bringing in two very impactful players in Miguel Almiron and Latte Lath. Really excited to see what they can bring. If you're an Atlanta United fan and you're maybe a little bit deeper into this and you're wondering what the context of this is, you know, what does it mean? It means that Atlanta United is an MLS Cup contender for the first time since 2019. I think that's fair. You know, you look at 2022 on paper going into that season. You look at 2024 in a lot of ways on paper going into that season. And the club had high expectations. I don't think you could legitimately say that they were an MLS Cup contender going into the season since 2019, when they were coming off of a championship. 2019, they were very, very close to doing that again. They didn't get that done. You never know how long that window is going to stay open. What these moves do is they push that window open. Now, for how long? I don't know. I can't tell you. I wish I had the crystal ball. I don't have the magic eight ball in front of me either. I don't know. But it gives you an opportunity to be on paper among the elite teams in this league. And yes, that includes Inter Miami. That includes, I think, the Seattle Sounders in the Western Conference. I don't know if it includes the defending cup champions, the LA Galaxy, at this stage because of Ricky Pucci's injury, because of Dejan Jovalich being sold to Kansas City. I don't know if it includes them. I don't know if it includes LAFC. I think right now, and there will be more moves and things will happen, I think right now your three MLS Cup contenders on paper on February 4th, it's Atlanta United, it's Inter Miami, and it's the Seattle Sounders. I think those are your three. Maybe there's another one that will emerge. Columbus, they sold Cucho Hernandez. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Cincinnati, they might be selling Luciano Acosta. They might be adding a player. There's lots of mights and maybes and ifs. Right now, it's Atlanta, it's Miami, and it's Seattle. I think those are your three MLS Cup contenders. What does the lineup look like on paper as we wrap up this first segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight? I don't know if Miguel Almiron's going to be on the left or the right. I don't think he'll be in the middle. I think Alexei Maranchuk will be there. But in the course of the game, I think Almiron will be on the left, the right, and the middle. I think Saba Lobjanidze will be on the left and the right. I think Maranchuk will be on the in the middle, but he'll drift to the right or the left. I think you're going to have a very fluid attack. Latte Lath, as you heard from Craig Johns of the Middlesbrough Gazette, He likes to get in behind. He likes to play off of the last shoulder of the back line. He wants to get in behind. He wants that ball over the top. He's incredibly fast. He loves to press. We'll talk about that pressing and that counter pressing here in a bit as well, especially when we go back to look at the Birmingham win from the weekend. Okay, so you have a front four. We'll include Moranchuk, even though you're not going to be asking him to do as much in the pressing side of it and the getting in behind side of it. Szabo will get in behind and he'll press. Almiron will get in behind and he'll press. Late Lath will get in behind and he'll press. That's going to be a lot of speed for opposing defenses to worry about. Moranchuk pulling the strings. Bartosz Schlisz, Mateusz Klik, sometimes Jay Fortune, sometimes Tristan Muyamba. They're going to be pulling the strings in that midfield. They've got to be the link between the back line and the front because you have two fullbacks when they are healthy and Pedro Amador and Brooks Lennon who love to get forward and you want to get them involved in the attack because they are elite chance creators in this league over the past couple of seasons. Amador in a limited time frame last season since joining the team. Brooks Lennon over the last two seasons, really since he arrived in Atlanta, elite chance creation from a fullback. Center back, Derek Williams and Steon Gregersen. They've got to stay healthy. They did not play on Saturday in Birmingham. Gregersen has had injury issues. Williams had a few as the season went on last year. You do have Noah Cobb. You do have Efrain Morales. You do have Luis Abram as well there. You've got competition at center back, maybe due to some rotation due to injuries. You've got competition in the central midfield. You've got depth on the wings with Edwin Mosquera and Sean De Silva chomping at the bit to get playing time. You've got Jamal Tiare and Kamen Togashi up top who are going to push to get on the field as well. You have a lot of depth. You have a really strong first 11. You have a good second 11. This team on paper is built to contend for trophies. And on SDH AM this morning, the question came up after the Late Lath news came out. What is success? What is failure? What is that for Atlanta in 2025? I think you have to be playing for trophies in 2025 for it to be a successful season. You can't guarantee winning it, but I think you have to be playing for it for that to be successful. We'll take a look at one of the first steps in that process, a win over the weekend in Birmingham in a preseason friendly. We'll talk about that. We'll get caught up on some news from around Major League Soccer right after this on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. I'm Jason Longshore. Told you we would talk about Atlanta United and their win in Birmingham in preseason on Saturday. We've talked about all the off the field stuff so far on the show. Let's talk a little bit about the on the field and kind of where this team is and maybe what we learned a little bit on Saturday. It was a 2-0 win. Kamen Togashi with a goal from a set piece. Ronald Hernandez with the assist. Edwin Mosquera earned the free kick that Hernandez played into Togashi. Second goal was an own goal. Really nice build-up. Szabo Lobjanidze, a huge part of the concluding elements to that. A good solid win. Didn't really give up a whole lot of chances. Birmingham, I thought, you know, it was their first preseason game. It looked it. I think this is going to be an interesting Birmingham team. They have a player who was named to the U.S. U-17 national team today, who I thought was one of the better players in the second 45 for them. Ramiz Hamuda, a center back who is 16 years old. Really impressive player. It's an interesting Birmingham team. I do like some of the additions that they're looking at bringing in. But they're not as far along in preseason as Atlanta United. And they're not as far along tactically either. And I think that was the biggest jump from game one to game two for Atlanta United in preseason. In Chattanooga, it felt a little vanilla. It felt a little basic in the way that the team played. It didn't in Birmingham. It felt different. I think there were good performances all the way around. I think when you look at the first group, that was Josh Cohen in the goal, Hernandez, Efrain Morales, Noah Cobb, Ronan Wynn across the back line left to right, Jay Fortune, Bartosz Schlisz. Schlisz wore the armband in the first 45. Those were your holding midfielders. Will Riley was your 10. Edwin Mosquera was on the left. Luke Brennan on the right. Kamen Togashi up top. I think Brennan stood out for his ability to try to go 1v1, and that's something that I think Ronnie Dyla has definitely enjoyed about him. Sleash, armband really suited him. I thought he stepped up and was doing everything possible to lead by example, but also lead with his voice and with his body language and mannerisms. Noah Cobb and Luke Brennan played the full 90, and I thought Noah was solid. I thought Morales was solid. The backline wasn't really tested. You know, Hernandez and Wynn stood out in ways because they got forward a good bit, but the backline wasn't really tested. And a big reason why they weren't tested was the counter pressure. But Edwin Mosquera thrived in these moments of hassling teams as they were trying to build up. As you go back to what Craig Johns of the Middlesbrough Gazette said about Latte Lath, he likes to hassle defenders. Edwin Mosquera was enjoying hassling Birmingham defenders. Kamen Togashi was enjoying hassling Birmingham defenders in that first 45. And it kept up in the second 45. You know, that group was Brad Kazan, Dominic Chongqui, Luis Abram, Noah Cobb, Matt Edwards. The holding midfielders were Mateusz Klik and Tristan Muyamba. Alexei Maranchuk as the 10, Saba on the left, Brennan on the right, and Jamal Tiare up top. That group as well, hassled defenders. The counter pressure was key. And I say counter pressure really specifically, and it's something that we're going to be talking about a lot this season. Atlanta United will want to keep the ball. They're not going to be maybe as focused this season as they have been in some previous seasons on just keeping the ball no matter where. They want to keep the ball. They want to play in the attacking half. They definitely want to play in the attacking half. So they want to get forward. They want to get into that half, but then they don't mind keeping it once they get into the attacking half. You're going to lose it at some point. You're going to lose the ball at some point. It's just, it's the nature of the game. You know, you're going to have a wayward pass. You're going to have a good defensive play. You're going to go for a 1v1 on the dribble, and it's not going to come off. What jumped out to me in game two versus game one was the counter pressure to win the ball back. Not conceding possession and pressing, but having possession, losing said possession, and then immediately trying to win the ball back. So we talk about a counter attack. This is like counter defending. That's why it's counter pressure. You're trying to win the ball back immediately after losing it. After the game, Ronnie Dyla spoke to the media. I asked him about that, and so here's what he had to say.
More chances playing forward today when the counter pressure was as good as it was. How, in the way that you want the team to play, how connected are those two things?
We need more. I think we can press even higher in moments. Sometimes we just give them the ball and we drop a little bit more. And when we do that, it's okay. Sometimes in the games you need to rest a little bit and you let them play sideways but not through us. But every time we win the ball in good situation, we have to look inside. We have to get Alex on the ball. We need to get the strikers on the ball. We need to get wingers on the ball. And then we need the runs from behind. So then you can choose then if you want to counterattack or you want to keep the ball. But the most important that we are playing on their half instead of our own. Because if we play backwards, we end up as a goalkeeper, and then they get energy to want to press. They don't like to stop and run against their own goal. No team likes that, so we don't want to give them something they're looking for. So you win it. If you can't play backwards, then forward, and we play backwards or sideways, and then forward again. So, and then of course you need midfielders that they can orient themselves, they open up their body to really control the game in the center of the pitch. And I think we have that, but they are not used to. To be so much on the ball that they are now, and that's something we just have to keep on.
That was Ronnie Dyla from Protective Stadium in Birmingham, speaking to me and the media about that counter pressure, and he went into a lot of different elements there. And I'm going to recommend to all of you who are fans and want to learn a little bit more about the game and maybe how the X's and O's work, listen to Ronnie Dyla's media availabilities, whether it's after training during the week or it's after games. He is very clear. He's very thorough I asked him about counter pressure specifically, and he ended up taking that to body positioning for midfielders, which was fascinating. Pay close attention to what he has to say, because I think he enjoys the teaching components of it. He enjoys the conversation about it. He's a nerd in that way, like a lot of us who just love the game and love to try to figure it out. Except he gets to do that on the training pitch and then put it into practice in games and then talk about it afterwards. The other thing that jumps out to me when I hear that back and I start to think about what's going to be different. If you're an Atlanta United fan and you've been there from Tata Martino to Frank De Boer to Gabriel Heinze to Gonzalo Pineda, Rob Valentino, what is going to be different in 2025? When he talked about not wanting to play backwards and keep the ball in that zone, in that area, and to not get the other team excited about stepping up to press, that's very different than Gonzalo Pineda's mentality in that regard. And it's not right, wrong, it's just different. Gonzalo Pineda talked about before the New York Red Bulls home match last season, or 2023, when Atlanta beat the Red Bulls, it was the conversation about, I want to invite the pressure and then play through it. Why? It created space further up the field. So if you play through it, then you've eliminated defenders and you have space to go attack in. That's valid. The risk is you lose the ball and you give up a goal because the other team wins the ball high up the field. Everything's risk-reward here. So for Ronny Dialet, he doesn't want that. If you have to, because there isn't a pass forward, you have to go sideways or you have to go backwards, the next pass he wants forward. He doesn't want consistent passing back and passing sideways. I don't know if there's a number. I don't know if there's an amount of time. He wants the ball forward quickly. That's going to be different, and that's something to watch for with this Atlanta United team. When they play back, you have to find the outlet to go forward. And it's something that I talked about on the two broadcasts, the streams for the club. There's times where you're on the left side, for example, and there's nothing to go forward there. You have to go back to get to the right side. Okay, it's got to be quick. You can't pass back and then pass at a slow pace over and then pass one more time to the right. No, no, no. It's got to be fast. You've got to get the ball to the opposite side where the open space is and go. When this team gets that, they have the pieces to do it. When they get that ingrained, it's going to be a fun team to watch. And I think it suits the group. And I think you're seeing the building blocks of it so far. So coming up in preseason for Atlanta United, tomorrow afternoon, they are playing Orlando City, closed-door friendly at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. The team traveled to Bradenton today. Saturday and next Wednesday, additional matches down at IMG. So stay tuned. Hopefully going to have some streams for you. Stay tuned. Nothing guaranteed as of yet in that regard. It's not the easiest place to broadcast out of. It's not really built for broadcast. So we're all doing our best. So stay tuned for that. A couple of other preseason updates around MLS. I mentioned Cucho Hernandez. He was transferred to Real Betis in La Liga. $16 million, huge transfer. Really hard to say no to if you're Columbus. Almost impossible to say no to if you're Cucho. A lot of people will ask why. I think the player wanted it, and I think it's too good of a deal to pass up for everybody involved. It is bad timing for Columbus, and this is the nature of being in a league like Major League Soccer, like a lot of leagues around the world. Sometimes you're going to have to make a deal for business, and then you're going to have to figure it out for the soccer side. And that's where Columbus Crew will be now. They have to go find a forward. They have Christian Ramirez, so they do have cover. Maybe they can get a six-month loan, get to the summer, and then have a wider window to go buy someone. Because now the European major leagues, the windows are closed. So if you're going to sign somebody from one of those leagues, it's got to be somebody that a club can live without replacing. It's not easy to find. Another big move in the league, I think it's going to be a huge move. Houston Dynamo bought Jack McGlynn. This was one of the cash for player trades in MLS. They bought Jack McGlynn for over $2 million, could go up to $3.5 million. I'm shocked that Philadelphia would sell a talented 21-year-old player with a ton of upside who can be a playmaker to a team in the league. I'm just shocked that they would move on from that player. Actually, I'm not. When you look at the way Philadelphia plays, they don't really want playmakers. And that's something where you've had a lot of talented young players come through that academy, and they've moved them on very quickly. Something they're going to have to figure out, because Jack McGlynn's a player that I think if you're not going to spend a lot of money in the transfer market, he's a player you'd want to build around. I think he's going to thrive in Houston. I think it makes Houston a really interesting team to watch. Dejan Jovalić, mentioned him from the LA Galaxy to Sporting Kansas City. SKC also signed a designated player midfielder, Manu Garcia, to add to a revamped attack. Watch out for Kansas City and Peter Vermes. LAFC, they got the deal done to sell Mateusz Bogusz to Cruz Azul. A lot of big deals there. A lot of eight-figure, high seven-figure kind of deals there. And there could be more around MLS with Evander reportedly on the market. Luciano Acosta potentially on the way out. Lots of interesting things could happen around MLS over these last couple weeks of preseason. Coming up next, it's the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. That's coming up next in 5 minutes on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It is time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. I'm Jason Longshorts, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, but y'all know that by now. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. Number one, Cooper Sanchez, player that you need to get to know when it comes to Atlanta United. He was called up to the U.S. U-17 national team for upcoming CONCACAF competition. Cooper's part of the Atlanta United 2 roster, and he will be part of a qualifying tournament to get to the U-17 World Cup. Really talented young player, got a decent bit of experience in MLS Next Pro last season. A guy that we had the chance to profile on the SDH network, and one that I'll always remember Gonzalo Pineda saying that he expected Cooper to be a breakout player from the academy for the first team. So keep an eye on Cooper Sanchez. This might be one of the first big steps for him in his career. Number two on the local side, Aaron Walker. Signed a new contract with South Georgia Tormenta this week. The 34-year-old, he's going to take on the role of player coach this season for the USL League One side down in Statesboro. Aaron's from Woodstock originally. He started Oglethorpe University, led them to their first conference title. He's played professionally in Iceland. He's played professionally in multiple clubs around the United States. And I had the chance to talk to him today about this next step of going from, you know, playing at a high level. And he joined South Georgia Tormenta middle of last season, really enjoyed his time there, wanted to stay. And when the opportunity came up to start the coaching process, he had already started some of the courses. This is different. This is hands-on. This is being involved. It's a tough balancing act to be a player coach, but he's embracing it as they are in their preseason. They'll play Atlanta United, too, behind closed doors on Saturday in Marietta at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Training Ground. Check out more from my conversation with Aaron, and it'll be posted tomorrow on the SDH Network, wherever you get your podcasts. Number three on the local side, attention women coaches. Georgia Soccer and U.S. Club Soccer, they are hosting a women's only D-licensed coaching course in Loganville, Georgia, coming up. It's going to be online and in person, so you have to be able to do both. It'll run between March 11th and May 10th, so multiple days involved in this. Limited seats available. Register now in the learning.ussoccer.com portal. And if you don't have the prerequisites to get into this D license, you can start that process in that portal, learning.ussoccer.com. You'll see all the upcoming coaching courses. You can take the grassroots course if you're getting started and keep building up. But very cool that Georgia Soccer and U.S. Club Soccer are hosting a women's only D course in Loganville. Four headlines from around the world, part of the 3-4-3. Number one, Alphonso Davies, the Canadian wingback / fullback, looked like he was going to go to Real Madrid at the end of this season when his contract was up with Bayern. Well, he's finally signed a new deal, and this was unexpected. Nobody really had him staying. He signed a deal through June of 2030. Everybody kind of took it for granted that he was going to go to Real Madrid. There's even talk that Real Madrid might pay a little transfer fee and bring him in now. Nope, he's going to stay at Bayern. Now, he might get sold at some point down the line, but Bayern will be able to at least make money out of that deal now that they've signed him to a new contract. Number two on the headlines, this one's an interesting one. Cristiano Ronaldo celebrating a birthday tomorrow. I'm celebrating a birthday tomorrow too, but you know, that's kind of cool. I'm not going to say anything like this. Cristiano Ronaldo said it. He was, I guess, speaking in Madrid. He's been talking a lot lately. He said that he's the best player ever. Just not even messing around, just flat out. He said, "I am the greatest scorer in history." This was with a Spanish television channel, La Sexta. "Although I'm not left-footed, I am in the top 10 in history for goals scored with the left foot." I don't know where that stat came from, but okay. "These are numbers." Sure, I guess. You didn't say any, but whatever. "I am the most complete player who has ever existed." He said this on TV. Really? "I play well with my head. I take good free kicks. I am fast. I am strong. I jump. I have never seen anyone better than me." That's Cristiano Ronaldo. He's an incredible player. Don't get me wrong. He's an incredible player, but wow. Somebody might want to get in his playlist on Spotify or Apple Music and send him, I don't know, "Humble" by Kendrick Lamar. Maybe. Maybe he needs to listen to that a little bit. Javier Mascherano was asked about Cristiano Ronaldo's comments. Mascherano, the new head coach at Inter Miami, he said, "I have a lot of respect for Cristiano, and I don't have to analyze his opinions. It's what he thinks. I have my own thoughts, and it isn't that." That's a really nice way to put it, Javier. I'm gonna leave it there before I get myself in trouble with the Ronaldo stands out there, but wow. Number three on the headline, Sergio Ramos. He's set to sign for Monterrey in Liga MX. He's been out of the game since the end of last season where he played with Sevilla. Ramos, a lot of Liverpool fans, not a big fan of Mr. Ramos after his injury on Mo Salah in a Champions League final. League's Cup could get a little more interesting with Sergio Ramos in it. Let's just put it that way. I will be thoroughly entertained if this all goes down and gets done. It sounds like it will. There was a medical done in Madrid. Could be announced at any point here. Sounds like it's going to be Sergio Ramos to Rayados Monterrey and Liga MX. Sergio Ramos and Liga MX will be must watch. I'm expecting multiple red cards before the season is over. Number four on the headlines, Manchester City. They are appalled after learning striker Khadija Bunny Shaw was subjected to racist and misogynist abuse following Sunday's Women's Super League loss to Arsenal. This is still happening. It is still ridiculous, and In this case, City confirmed that the content has been shared with the relevant authorities and an investigation is going to be held. Shaw, if you don't know her as a player, an amazing player, the Jamaican international, she's 28 years old. She decided not to share the messages publicly in order to avoid giving those individuals any publicity at all. And I like that approach. And I'm glad that Manchester City came out and spoke so strongly to defend their player. This sadly should not be happening still in 2025. Sadly, it's probably going to happen more in the short term. This needs to be, there's got to be an example made here. And I've said this multiple times when these things have come up. It's not that hard to track these things anymore and figure out who the person is. If they are Manchester City ticket holders, and I don't know the nature exactly of what happened here. Manchester City lost to Arsenal on the weekend. I don't know if it was Manchester City fans who made some of these comments. If they're Manchester City ticket holders or have bought tickets at all, they should be banned for life. Flat out. I don't care. Manchester City should make that statement. If they're Arsenal fans, Arsenal should step up and do it. The Women's Super League should step up and do it. The FA in England should step up and do it. They shouldn't be buying tickets to any game. They shouldn't be going to men's games, women's games, no games. This is something that you have to deal with in that way. These people want to get some attention? Okay. Give them attention for being banned for life. See how that goes. Get it done. English FA, clubs involved, and Manchester City's defending their player here, and I'm really happy that they are. But this has got to get handled better and faster and more strongly. And I really hope that the Women's Super League, Manchester City, Arsenal, the FA, everyone involved in the game in England put their foot down on this one. They have to. They have to start doing that. All right, three things that do make me smile about this game that I love so much instead of those idiots. Homecomings. And we got to experience one on Friday with Miguel Almiron back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Can't wait to see it in real time, in a real match. But just the craziness of all of this happening. Like it for a long time, it looked like he was going to end up playing in Charlotte, which would have just felt wrong and weird and uncomfortable. I'm glad it didn't happen. Now, when I never expected to see him wearing an Atlanta United kit again, I just didn't see that happen. I thought he'd stay in Europe, come back and maybe play at Cerro Porteño in his homeland in Paraguay. I just never saw the opportunity, the window opening for him to come back and play for Atlanta United. It's amazing that it has happened. And I've had this conversation over a couple of different times with our friend Sam Crenshaw. The two of us really, outside of Kevin Willis for the Hawks, and to a much lesser extent, Tom Glavine and Phil Negro for the Braves, we couldn't think of an Atlanta sports star of any magnitude who played for Atlanta, left, and came back in this kind of way. And no disrespect to Kevin Willis, different stratosphere in terms of that stardom locally in his given sport, Miguel Almiron. Tom Glavine and Phil Negro, when they came back, it was at the end of their career. They weren't the same player. Miguel Almiron is just on the other side of his prime. It's a special thing. It shouldn't happen. And it has. It's all fallen into place, and just embrace it and love it. Number two, Kamen Togashi's goal in Birmingham. Togashi spoke to the media on Thursday before the game, and on Wednesday last week. It was really good to hear from him and get a little bit of a taste of his personality. This is a guy who spent the first 4 years of his life in the United States, grew up in Japan, has spent his whole life in Japan after those first 4 years. You know, he's trying to pick up English. He is an incredible hard worker on the field. I really like his personality on the field. And it was such a good goal Such a good goal. You look at how he steps away from the ball and then goes and flies for it. Doesn't go for power, just places it in the far side netting. Great goal for Togashi. I'm really enjoying getting to know him and seeing his game. And number three, things that make me smile. Look, excitement. You should be smiling if you're a soccer fan in Atlanta right now. Your club locally just spent a whole lot of money to try to win trophies this year. You should be very happy about that. Get behind it. You know, like, again, it's no guarantee because everything can happen in a game. You can have injuries. You can have bad form. You can have bad luck. You can have calls go against you. All kinds of stuff can happen. But on paper, you try to give yourself every opportunity to win. Atlanta United has done that in 2025. It is going to be a fun season. And I think beyond just the talent, the way that this team is going to play, I think, is going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be up and down the field. It's going to be fast. You got speed all over this field. This is going to be a fun team. You should be excited, and you should be embracing that excitement. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. No broadcasts of preseason games coming up on 92.9 The Game. The games are down in Bradenton. Hopefully, we'll be able to pull some broadcasts together. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe on social media, and I'll keep you posted. Otherwise, I'll be back with Atlanta Soccer tonight, next Tuesday, 10 o'clock. Adios, everybody.